In the last hour, a bomb went off at an open-air market in central Jerusalem. First reports say several people were killed or injured in what's believed to be a suicide bombing. The market has been the scene of frequent bombings in the past. This comes on the day Secretary of State Colin Powell met for several hours with Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon. Tomorrow, Mr. Powell is scheduled to travel to the West Bank city of Ramallah to meet with Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat. Today's bombing is likely to make more difficult Mr. Powell's efforts to get Israel to withdraw from the West Bank and get the two sides talking again. Earlier this morning, we spoke with representatives from both sides. First, Dori Gold is Ariel Sharon's foreign policy advisor. He joins us by telephone from New York. Good morning, Mr. Gold.
Good morning.
President Bush has been urging Israel to withdraw from the West Bank without delay. Why not pull out now?
Well, I also remind you, he's also urged the Arab leaders, including Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat, to renounce terrorism, not just another meaningless ceasefire announcement, but actually renounce terrorism, and therefore inform all the armed factions of the Palestinian organizations just to stop the war against Israel. He hasn't done so.
We are going to ask a Palestinian representative about that very question in a moment, but why not pull out and do what Mr. Bush and many other observers have urged Israel to do?
We have only entered this military operation because Yasser Arafat failed to implement his obligations under the Oslo Agreement and under repeated ceasefire efforts that the international community has sponsored. As a result, Israeli hotels, coffee shops, discotheques, restaurants have been blown up by suicide bombers, and we've been losing 20, 30 people every week. That has to come to an end. No nation could tolerate such circumstances. And therefore, in the absence of Arafat's own readiness to use his forces to eradicate terrorism and to call off his own terrorism, we've had to take action.
Can you say concretely what this incursion has done? What have you managed to do in 2 weeks now?
Well, first of all, there's a huge amount of munitions that was built up in Palestinian-controlled areas, I may say illegal munitions, over the period of the Oslo implementation. We've discovered large amounts of laboratories where bombs are manufactured. We've discovered tons of explosive materials, illegal weapons. We've also uncovered very important documents which show the whole structure of terrorism. You know, many Israelis used to charge that Yasser Arafat stood behind the terrorism. But it was sort of a feeling. Now they can base their claims because now we actually have documents in which the Al-Aqsa Martyr Brigades of the Fatah organization request payment from Fuad Shubaki, who's Arafat's chief financial advisor, for various attacks. In fact, they explicitly write that a bomb attack costs 700 new Israeli shekels. They need 5 to 9 bombs a week, and therefore they ask for 20,000 new Israeli shekels per month. We have now evidence that leading members of the Tanzim, that's Arafat's Fatah militia, have been involved directly in terrorist attacks, and that they've been paid by Yasser Arafat, including Ziad Mohammed Das, who was responsible for the bat mitzvah attack in Hadera, in which a 12-year-old girl's bat mitzvah was assaulted and many of her guests were killed. So that request for payment for Ziad Mohammed Das, or Riyad Karmi, is actually signed by Yasser Arafat in Arabic.
Now
we have the documentation to understand how the whole structure has worked. What we're saying is terrorism and peace don't mix.
Even with this operation going on, the pictures and the news reports of the casualties that are going on there cause even Israel's friends in this country to say perhaps these policies are creating a new generation of Palestinians who are just going to feel more hatred and despair toward Israel, and it's truly counterproductive.
Well, first and foremost, our interest is protecting our civilians' lives. And when you have these continued wave of terrorist bombings, when you have Arafat failing to rein them in but continuing to pay for the bombings, what are we supposed to do? Now, it is true. Television pictures are not good. When you see a tank, you think Israel's using overwhelming force, but what we're doing is we're carrying our infantry into the heart of Palestinian population centers where we're sending our young boys in a house-to-house combat, risking their lives, because we don't want to call in airstrikes and use our heavy firepower. This war is being conducted by our infantry.
Mr. Gold, thank you. We're going to turn to the other side now, to Michael Tarazi. He's an advisor to a legal advisor to the PLO and a negotiator for Yasser Arafat. Mr. Tarazi, good morning. And can you say what is Chairman Arafat likely to tell Secretary Powell tomorrow?
Well, we are certainly going to stress that the Israeli lack of security is directly linked to the Palestinian lack of freedom. If we are serious about trying to stop violence, we must be serious about what the root causes are of that violence. There's no way to address only one side of the equation. And without a political process that promises the Palestinians freedom, as it does promise the Israeli security, we won't be able to get either Israeli security or Palestinian freedom.
Secretary Powell will again ask Mr. Arafat to give a speech in which he will say targeting civilians with suicide bombings is wrong. Why hasn't Mr. Arafat made such a statement so far, and will he?
I think that, first of all, you're mistaken. He did make that statement certainly last July after the discotheque bombing. He also made that statement December 16th of last year with respect to a new ceasefire. He also made that statement in writing in black and white in the New York Times on February 3rd, and he also had that translated into Arabic and printed in not one but two Palestinian newspapers, as well as in the Israeli Hebrew press. The question, though, isn't will he condemn or will he make a speech. That's not going to stop terrorism. We have to understand that. It's not a question of condemning it. It's a question of trying to understand why it happens, what is the political context in which terrorism thrives, and what are we going to do to address that underlying political context. Condemnations, as welcome as they are, and certainly I'm sure President Arafat will do what he needs to do, isn't going to stop the situation.
Is he in control of the situation on the West Bank? Can he control the militias?
Well, clearly not. Look, with Israel's overwhelming military power, with tanks, Apache helicopter gunships, with F-16s all supplied by the United States, and Israel doesn't seem to be able to control the militias. The Palestinians have none of that weaponry. How are we supposed to control those militias? I think right now President Arafat can't even guarantee his own personal safety, and once he's able to do that, his next priority has to be the personal safety of the Palestinian people whom he represents, and he hasn't been able to do that very well either. So it's absurd to say, can he then guarantee the safety of the Israeli occupier of his own land.
Mr. Tarazi, back to these questions of these condemnations. Are you saying that he has condemned this violence, not in retrospect, this last bombing was wrong, but he is saying to the Palestinian people, don't carry out these policies anymore, ever again. This is wrong. We renounce this.
We have condemned terrorism, as we define it, as the killing of innocent civilians for political purposes. And, of course, that certainly applies to Israelis when they kill innocent civilians as well. But, again, the question isn't how does that help? Condemning it is certainly welcome, but that's not how you stop terrorism. Condemnations are not how you stop it.
What about these documents that the Israelis have captured from Palestinian Authority offices that seem to show Mr. Arafat's paying for bombs and weapons?
Well, I'm an attorney, and I can tell you if I went into an American court of law and tried to make the accusations that Israel has tried to make, I'd be laughed out of court. First, we have to question the authenticity of these documents. It certainly is not beyond Israel to fabricate documents. It has a long history of fabricating evidence. For example, in the 1967 war, Israel camouflaged one of its own airplanes as an Egyptian plane and attacked the USS Liberty, an American ship in the Mediterranean, in an effort to frame the Egyptians. But let's also then assume that these documents are authentic. They don't necessarily prove anything. For example, a check payable to Marwan Barghouti signed by Yasser Arafat is perfectly legitimate. Marwan Barghouti is the senior Fatah member on the West Bank. He is an employee of the Fatah party. Yasser Arafat is the head of the Fatah party, and this is how Marwan Barghouti gets paid. So a check to Marwan Barghouti is no evidence whatsoever of any link to terrorism.
Mr. Tarazi, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Michael Tarazi is a legal advisor to Yasser Arafat.